Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful to gather together to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we're so thankful for the price that was paid, that we all can begin to see victory in our lives, in our everyday circumstances. Realize that the devil was defeated, that he was stripped, and that you are the greater one. Father, on each and every one of these people tonight, I thank you that they have ears to hear what the Spirit is going to say to them tonight. And it'll be revelation, not only in their heart, Father, but in their mind as they walk from day to day, as they go from time to time. That, Father, they can look to you and say, this is my strength, this is my sword. Father, we thank you tonight, the service that we're about to enter, and we give it to you. Father, we thank you that Gary speaks with all boldness, led by the Holy Spirit. And Father, this is your time. And oh Lord, we thank you that each day we're all beginning to see you more clear, not only in our hearts, but in our minds, Father, that the new boldness that has begun to come up in these people. In the mighty name of Jesus do we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All the people said. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so tonight we got several people who just now got your workbooks for the first time. And, we're running a little late anyway, so I can't do a whole lot of instructions. But that tape that I gave you called Workbook Instructions will pretty well tell you what we're doing. The goal is to become more doers of the Word. In James it says, it's not the hearer of the Word that is blessed, not the hearer only, but he that does the Word, that man is blessed in all of his deeds. So everyone say, doesn't do me any good,
doesn't do me any good,
to hear the Word,
hear
if I'm not going,
to do it.
My motto is,
the same as Nike's,
just do it.
Just do it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we're going to do a little quick review. Let me pick up one of these myself just to look at. The first night, we taught on forgiveness, if y'all remember. So go ahead and turn in your workbooks over to the little tab that says forgive. And again, I want to thank Shirley. There's no way I could keep up with all of this without her help. She's been making all these little tabbies and Xeroxing and collating and putting them in the ring binders and just really been... there's no way I could keep up without her. And then Sue for doing all of the things around the house here that has to be done. More and more. And Shirley helps there. And Angie came over today and vacuumed. And thank God. Okay, but anyway, the first page here says Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's all right. But the second page is the doing part. Now, I'm not going to... Now, listen. Right during this part here, I want no show of hands. The end result of that lesson was, if you're not going to walk in forgiveness towards people, forget tithing. It isn't going to work anyway. Forget praying. Forget faith. Everywhere that Jesus taught on all those things, he coupled it right up with, for example, Mark 11:23 and 24, but verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive. For if you forgive not your brethren, so forth and so on, neither will my Father forgive you. When he taught the Lord's Prayer, right in the middle of it, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, the only thing he commented on, again, was, and forgive, if you do not forgive, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. So we taught on that. So the end result of it was, you notice the lines on that page? And the instructions were, anybody that in your heart you know that there's still resentment, some kind of bitterness, maybe they did you really ugly, and you don't think there's any way that you ought to forgive them, Jesus didn't say, wait till they repent. He said, you forgive them anyway. We're in the forgive section here. That one right there, second page. There you go. And that, the instructions were, write down anybody's name. Because what Jesus said to do for somebody like that, he says, pray for those that despitefully use you. If you'll start praying, even though in your heart you don't want to, maybe you think, well, I don't want to forgive them. Well, Jesus said you had to forgive them. Well, I can't forgive them. Anytime you can't, you're in a good spot, because right then you can call on the grace of God. All He says is be willing to be made willing. You start. You start praying. Even if you don't feel like it, He will add His grace to you to where you're able to do it, and eventually you'll be free of this unforgiveness and strife. Because you have to walk free of unforgiveness, you have to walk free of bitterness, or nothing in this gospel is going to work for you. If you think, again, I've got to say this, if you think that you're going to walk around full of hatred and strife and unforgiveness and a gossipy tongue and buy God off and get His blessings through your tithes and offerings, you have another think coming. It doesn't work that way. God cannot be bribed. Got that? Got quiet quick in this Presbyterian church this week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the exhortation is, continue praying. And I don't know how many people have told me, even after that first night, later on in the week, names that they hadn't thought of in years, the Holy Ghost started bringing to mind. And they're going, oh yeah, there is still bitterness against that person. And they would add that name to the list. And then another name would come up and say, oh, I thought I was free of that, but I can tell I'm not. Put that name on the list. I don't know how many people have told me that. Say, how long do I pray for them? Until it's gone. The unforgiveness is gone. And you'll know. There's just nothing there anymore. You really do want God to bless them. You really do hope they prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. You see what I'm saying? So continue to be a doer of the word. Continue to do that until it's real in you. Okay? Okay, now back up to the first tab that says worship. And this is all we've got in here so far. I mean, we could teach 2 months on worship. Y'all remember, and I know not all of you is here, so I'll tell you, the very first night that we ever had the Bible study, I asked the Lord, I said, what is the end result? What do you want from these people tonight? What do we start with? And if you remember, if I remember right, the name of the tape was something like Following Your Shepherd. You remember that? He says, I want my people to talk to me. I'd love it if they'd get up in the morning and tell me that they love me. Just start loving the Lord, you know? So I put this little letter in here. Tim Stemple gave it to me, and he doesn't remember where he got it. But I love this. I'm not going to read it again right now. But the idea is, in this letter, Jesus is saying, in the morning, remember me. Talk to me. Remember that I love you. I'd like to hear your voice. And if you'll worship me, then I can start moving in your life. And I can be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Talk to me. Okay? So the exhortation, this is just a review real quickly. In the morning, talk to him. I'm pointing at Daryl. I don't mean talk to Daryl. Yeah, everyone call Daryl in the morning. No. Call the Lord. But Daryl's a good guy, but he can't help you like Jesus, okay? But talk to the Lord. He really does want to hear your voice. He really does love hearing from you in the morning, first thing. I love the way, how many of y'all have read, Benny, you can show your hands on this one, have read Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn? Oh my God. The next $3.95 you get, I think that's what it costs, might be $4.95, go to Mardell's and buy Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. It will change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Would you like to God to use you anything like He does Benny Hinn? I was watching today, they set 14 wheelchairs up on the stage. 14 wheelchairs. Sandra, how would you like it if God sent you somewhere and you put your hands on these people and God emptied 14 wheelchairs? Glory to God. I think I'd read the man's book. I think he knows something about the Holy Ghost I don't know. You know? Hallelujah. So worship the Lord. Next page. This is under Thy Will Be Done. And this was last week's message. And look at the one that says Matthew 6 Rewards. First, I'm not going to read that again. I've never heard anybody teach this but the Holy Ghost. Never in my life. I didn't get this from any man. And for years and years and years, I wondered what those, you know, all through there, Jesus keeps saying, if you'll do this in secret, my Father will reward you openly. And I was thinking, you know, when you first start off and you're totally carnal, you know, man, if I do this and I do that, he'll give me Cadillac cars. Not that he won't now, but I was thinking that was the reward, see. He'll be giving me Cadillac cars. He'll be giving me diamond doorknobs in my house. He'll be giving me all this stuff because I was, you know, totally flesh, totally carnal. And that's not what Matthew 6 is about at all. Matthew 6 is about seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, he does say in there, if you start doing that, if you start seeking first the kingdom of God, all these things, what things? Longer cars and VCRs, all the stuff that the Gentiles, the unbelievers, spend their whole life trying to get, he says, they'll just be added to you, that's all. God will just start bringing your stuff. And Sue and I are kind of living proof of that. Never could afford to buy her a brand new couch in 20 years of working from, you know, 12 hours a day or more. And we started really seeking God, and God just had somebody give us one. We didn't ask for nothing. Somebody walked in carrying a brand new microwave, that one right there. Brand spanking new. We always bought hand-me-down ones, used ones before. A man walked in here and brought me about $2,000 worth of brand new computer equipment. Glory to God. Another man calls me up and says, God told me to give you a Xerox machine. Hallelujah. I won't tell you who is in it, who he is. His initials is George Tompkins. Hallelujah. And when God sent that, I knew I was in trouble because I didn't know what it was for. I said, I'm behind the program, you know. So I had to get in there and start fasting. I mean, I wish I'd have fasted. I got in there. I won't lie to you. I got in there and started praying. Said, God, what's the deal? I didn't even ask you for a Xerox machine. Can y'all see what it's for now? You see what he had in mind? These workbooks. If I tried to print this all out on my printer and we'd have started this 3 days ago, it would still be printing, wouldn't it, Shirley? It's slow. But you can put it in that Xerox machine and just ka-chunka, ka-chunka, ka-chunka. Boy, it just spits them right out, you know. So thank God. Hallelujah. Okay. But now, so Matthew 6 rewards, read that later again. That's what he's trying to do, is give you a servant's heart, because you're going to find out, you might as well know now, if you're going to serve God in his kingdom, you're going to wind up serving people. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Serving people. He's got a place for you in it. My place right now is to do Thursday night Bible study. It might be something else later. If I show myself faithful here, he may promote me to something else later. I don't know. But I like doing this. Okay? He may have something totally different for you, but I guarantee you he's got something for you to do. Your job is to get in there and find it out. Well, just how do I do that, Brother Gary? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Back up one page. The one that says doing Matthew 6. Most people, when they say seek first the kingdom of God, here's what they, because they've been... Everyone listen, religiously brainwashed. Oh, you don't have the other one? It's the one that says, doing Matthew chapter 6.
Under the same.
It should be right behind that one.
Okay,
there it is. Okay. Doing Matthew chapter 6. When they start thinking about, seek ye first the kingdom of God, well, that means, and none of these things are wrong. Don't get me wrong. But in their mind, what that means to them is, okay, I need to go to every church service. Maybe I ought to quit wearing makeup, if you know.
All right.
You know, and a lot of preachers preach a lot of junk along this line. Quit wearing them earrings, them devil stirrups. That's what the devil uses to mount your mind with, you know. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've heard. One church I was in wouldn't let men wear neckties because they point towards hell. You just wouldn't believe the kind of stuff. And they start getting all kinds of religious, holier-than-thou, goody-goody, two-shoe type things, you know, and they're seeking first the kingdom of God, and they wonder why the blessings never start rolling in. Well, I'll tell you why the blessings don't start rolling in. It's because they don't read Matthew 6. If you want to find out what Jesus meant by seek ye first the kingdom of God, all you got to do is look in that same chapter. You don't have to go hunting all around for a bunch of stuff. If Jesus was here tonight, he'd be going... That's the conclusion. That's at the end of the chapter. What do you think I was talking about? Back up and see. All right, if you back up in that chapter, here's what you're going to find. This is what Jesus calls seeking first the kingdom. Giving alms. Alms is not your tithe. You should tithe. Alms is not an offering that you give at church, although you should do that. Alms is not money that you give to your kids or to your friends. Alms is something you give to somebody who's worse off than you and has no way of ever repaying you. The first thing Jesus talked about on seeking first the kingdom, give some of that money away. Open up that wallet, lubricate the hinges on it. You know, you open it up, the moths fly out, you know, it's been so long. And that dusky air comes out of the pocket, you know, because it's been closed for so long. And you get one of those $20 bills or $10 bills or whatever, and you go give it to some homeless, bummy looking person that you wouldn't even have coffee with. You old flaky religious thing, you. Well, thank you. I'm sweating. Tanya handed me a towel. This reminds me of preaching in the prisons. Hallelujah. A lot of them didn't have air conditioning. We've got it. It just didn't keep it up. Hallelujah. Give away my money. No, I want to quit wearing my earrings. No, it ain't going to work. He's talking about giving away your money. So the instructions from last week was everybody to start doing, seeking first the kingdom. Start small. You know, take, and I don't want to show of hands, but I said even take if it's just $5. Find somebody who's worse off than you. Give your hard-earned $5 to that person. Now, I don't want to show of hands. I don't know if you remember to do it or not. If you forgot, do it this week. Okay, don't get into condemnation. That's not what it's all about. The idea is to eventually get into doing it. Best thing you can do the rest of your life is find, well, not the best thing, but one of the best things you could do the rest of your life, and what Jesus said is first, on seeking first the kingdom, every week you need to give something away to somebody worse off than you. That has absolutely no way of repaying you, and do it secretly, and your Father will start rewarding you. What you'll find when you read that other page, He's going to start rewarding you with a heart that loves people more than money. Because until you get a heart that loves people more than money, He's not going to be able to use you in His kingdom. Y'all do know we don't take up any offerings here, right? If we didn't love you more than money, me and Sue would be gone to the show tonight. You understand what I'm saying? We could be doing something else. You know? All right. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Step two. Pray according to this manner. And that's the Lord's Prayer. And everybody reads that like He said, pray this prayer. He didn't say that at all. He said, after this manner, pray ye. Then He gives the Lord's Prayer. It's the pattern for prayer. There's a lot more, by the way, on the tapes that go with this. I'm just reviewing real quickly, and this is taking longer than I hoped. Okay, your workbooks are actually laid out according to the Lord's Prayer. And what we're doing right now, we're passing through every section one at a time to get you started in every facet, every part of that prayer. Okay, when we get through, guess what? We're going to come back around and go into each one of them in a little more detail. And then we're going to come back, we're going to go through it again. And in that last section that doesn't have anything in it yet, we're going to start putting some helps in there to help you start doing more of the Word of God, okay? Okay, boy, I'm going to have to hurry too. All right. So first, give away some of your money, Jesus said. If you want to seek first the kingdom, start giving some of those hard-earned bucks to somebody. We're talking in addition to your tithes, in addition to your offerings at your church, in addition to what you're giving your kids. We're not talking lunch money here, okay? This is alms to somebody you don't know hardly, who's worse off than you, who cannot repay you, and you do it secretly. And then secondly, pray after this manner. Just listen to the tape. I can't teach all that again tonight. We just don't have time. Okay? Thirdly, y'all ready? How many of you here want to seek first the kingdom of God? Now show me your hands this time. You want to seek first the kingdom of God? According to Jesus, the third step to that is everybody's favorite. Say it with me. Fasting. Ooh! Fasting. Well, I'd really rather take off my earrings now. Can I just quit? Can I just take off my earrings and tell everybody else how unholy they are? No, you can't. Fasting starts working on the appetites of the flesh. Your spirit is the part of you that's born again. Your mind is in the process of being renewed, but your body is unsaved. It'll be unsaved next week, and it'll be unsaved until the rapture at the sound of the trump in the twinkling of an eye. Fasting starts training your inner man to start taking dominion over your outer man, the flesh. It starts enforcing the truth of the fact that the spirit is alive, but the body is dead, positionally with God. All right? For example, if you just let the flesh do anything it wants to, men, you'll be sleeping with your neighbor's wife. Because your flesh is crazy, and it's lost as a goose. It's not saved. You have to take control over your body. My body always wants 3 pieces of coconut cream pie every day. If I let my body do that, I mean, I've already let it do too much, but I'll get so big, I won't be able to fit through the door. So I say, I'm getting this from Norval. I remember one of his tapes. He says, "No, body, you flake. You can't have 3 pieces of coconut cream pie. What's wrong with you? If I eat 3 pieces of coconut cream pie every day, I won't be able to get through the door. Now, if you be real nice, body, I'll tell you what. I'll let you have 1 piece of coconut cream pie. But I'm not letting you have 3 pieces. Okay? Fasting starts enforcing, training your inner man to take authority over your outer man. And then what happens then as you start doing that, when your body says, "I'm tired tonight. I don't want to go to Bible study. I want to sit here and drink a pina colada and watch Dynasty," or whatever's on TV, you know. What's on nowadays? Baywatch. I want to watch Baywatch. I want to see TNA, you know. You know. And you say, "No, you flaky thing. I know that you're lost and you don't care anything about God. No, you're going to carry my spirit man down to the church and you're going to pray, you old flaky thing. You will obey me," I said. Hallelujah. That's what fasting does. Okay. Hallelujah. Pretty good review? Okay. So the idea from last week was find somebody worse shaped than you. Give them $5, $10, $20, something. Start somewhere. Give them some of your money. And remember, the stronghold he's trying to break down is we can't afford that. That's the very stronghold he's trying to pull down. As long as you value your money more than you do that person that's even worse off than you, he can't use you in his kingdom. The very mentality of, "I'm the neediest person I know." That's what he's trying to break down. Do you have a covenant with God? How could you be needy? The poverty that Jesus bore for you, that wasn't quite enough for you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to look your way. He had to break it down in me. Until Sue and I started doing this 3 years ago, before we entered into the ministry, if God would have told me, go spend $1,000 on a tape duplicator to make tapes free and then buy the tapes free and give them away free. Now, I can guarantee you what I'd have said. I cannot afford that. I mean, we were barely making it as it was. I'm just a truck driver driving for old Penny Pinch and Gerald over there. I'm teasing. Gerald ain't got nothing to do. Gerald ain't got nothing to do with how much money. He did everything he could to help us. That's right. Yeah, I'm just teasing. But we were just barely making it. We're like everybody else. Everybody you know is like that. They're just, you know, that to them they're just barely making it.
Gerald turns color.
Well, I wouldn't have done that. I couldn't have afforded to. Uh-oh. Do you want it on tape? Okay. But I'd have had that same thought, because I thought just like the world. If you're thinking that way, you're thinking just like the world. Quit that. That's the very stronghold he's trying to pull down in you. You have a covenant with God. What do you mean you can't afford? Everyone say, "I can afford
to
do anything
God tells me to do.
He's my source. Not my paycheck."
Everyone ought to say, "That's good preaching."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, good donkey work. Hallelujah. All right. I need one of these each. Randy, would you take one of these and head around this way, handing one out to everybody? And Daryl, would you mind to go that way with these? We'll let the extras come back to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First thing Angie asked is, where does it go? We're doing something new now. Look at the bottom of the page. On the bottom of all the sheets now, it'll tell you what section of the workbook that it goes in. Like tonight, it goes in our bread. And also what tape it relates to. So that later on, if you say, I'd like to, because these are just summaries, say, boy, I need to hear that whole message again, then you'll know what tape that came from, and you can go back and listen to the whole tape. Okay? If you don't have it, if you're hearing my voice by tape and you don't have any of these materials, they are available by writing Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, zip code 74157. Hallelujah. Y'all going to know that by heart. The popping you're hearing, it's not the 4th of July. Everybody's putting these in their ring binders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Tanya said, feels like we're in school again. We haven't been getting it.
Do we get a grade card?
Yeah.
I quit.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a grade card, but I'm not the one that does the grading. Norval puts it like this. He says, God's got to approve of your faith, my brothers and sisters. You got to get a passing grade. Do you understand me? Heaven's got to approve of your faith, or you're not going to get your answer. Yeah, you want to get a grade, all right, but I'm not the one that does the grade. There's one watching who's finding out, are you a doer of the word? Or are you not? Hallelujah. Come on in, John. Have a seat. We'll get him fixed up on a workbook later. Okay. Hallelujah. But you have to share for right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and use this example now. And I asked Shirley earlier if I could. And I've waited purposely 14 days. 2 weeks ago when I was talking about confessing the word, and I was suggesting to you all to make a schedule so you would know what time tomorrow that you know, to confess the word. And I learned this already in real estate. I learned it a long time ago that if people don't schedule when they're going to do something that's a little difficult, they usually don't ever get around to doing it. And Shirley made the comment, well, I'm just not a scheduling type person. And probably everybody in here, they weren't saying it. Shirley's just the one that had guts enough to say it, you know. But they're all going, yeah, me too. I'll bless God, confess it when I want to. Shirley's like Peter. She always, Peter was always the spokesman for the group, Hundredfold, well, we've left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? And all the rest of them are going, well, we're too humble to ask that, but we're sure glad Peter did. Well, that's kind of what was going on. So it's been, okay, now everybody, hold your place there and flip over to the very front of your book and hold up that white, that little white book. Where's your white book? It must have fell out. Okay. Okay. The white book says God's creative power. Y'all remember the night we taught on that? And about the importance of speaking the word? Now, I'm going to pick on Shirley. Bless her heart. I asked her if I could. Shirley, it's been 14 days. Let me get closer. It's been 14 days. And without a plan, how many times have you just spoken out loud the confessions in that white book?
Probably twice.
Twice? Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Did you do it this evening?
No.
Because I asked her this evening.
No. Earlier in the week. Okay. It's been a little over a week.
Did you intend to do it every day, though?
Oh, yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. So we got 2 out of 14. Now, I'm not going to, unless you want to volunteer yourself. Of course, you guys are off the hook because you're just starting tonight. I'll get you later. But if I was to ask a show of hands of how many people, out of that same 14 days, how many times have you taken that little white book, those confessions in there, and said them out loud with your mouth, it'd probably be pretty embarrassing. For most of you, it will be zero. If what I learned in real estate still holds true. Okay? Now, bless Shirley's heart. I think the Lord will reward her because she was the one that had guts enough to say it, you know, so which allowed this to happen. I have found in the world, in real estate, the same thing to be true that I find it with spiritual things. Unless you plan now, to sometime tomorrow, when you're going to speak those confessions, the odds are greatly against you ever speaking them. Because you're going to get so busy, just like you was today, that you're not going to have time. And if you don't start speaking them, now I'm getting a little ahead of the lesson, but if you don't ever start it, I hope you like your life the way it is. Because it's not going to change. Y'all can all go to the first church where they're telling you everything's going to be all right. I love you too much, and I'm not going to disobey Jesus by doing that. Let me say it one more time, just in case you misunderstood me. If you're not going to start confessing and agreeing with the Word of God, get used to the way your life is right now. Because it will not change. Except it might get worse. Because there is a real life enemy coming against you. And he is not idle, even though you may be. Ow! I didn't come over here for this. Well, you got it anyway. Hallelujah. Can you prove that, Brother Gary? That's what tonight's lesson's about. Now, if you do not have the tape called The Grace of God in Worship, which I taught down at Dave Roberson's on July 24th, don't leave here tonight without it. We've got a duplicator. We can make you ones. I laid a very strong, the Holy Spirit allowed me that night, it took me an hour and a half to lay a very strong foundation for what I'm going to teach you tonight. Okay? So if you don't have it or haven't heard it, or if you don't have a copy of that tape, be sure and get one before you leave here tonight. Because I just flat don't, if I take an hour and a half just to lay the foundation, and we want to go beyond that, beyond the foundation. I want to teach you some more beyond that tonight. So I don't have an hour and a half to lay that foundation again. But boy, the Lord really let me lay it one very slow, one block at a time. So if you've got the tape and haven't listened to it, be sure and listen to it. If you don't have the tape, get it. Okay? They're free. I don't want Jesus coming to me and said, well, that one person didn't have $5 to buy that tape. That's never going to happen here. You understand me? If God can't furnish enough money to send out a few tapes, I'm serving the wrong God anyhow. Hallelujah! Amen. The Word becomes flesh. Now here we go. I'm going to stick real close with this tonight. You hear me? I'm going to stick real close to this because we don't have much time. So get your catchers out. If you start getting sleepy, stand up. We'll know. It's okay. It's warm in here. I know it is. So, all right? The page I'm starting on, these both have the same title, and that was a mistake. I'll do better next. I'm learning how to do this as we go. The one I want to start with is In the Beginning, God Created a Garden. Do you see that one? In the Beginning, God Created a Garden. That's the ones we handed out tonight. Now, this is review. Any of you that's heard that will... that tape will know what I'm talking about. But real quickly, we'll just go through here. In the beginning, God created a garden. You'll like this. You'll like this kind of stuff. You're going to like this tonight. Before he ever created man, God made every tree to grow in that garden. Now look at Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now God made man and placed him in the garden, and then gave this command to Adam. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now Eve was deceived by the serpent, and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge. And then Adam chose to eat it also, violating the command of God. They both fell and lost their dominion. Satan has been ruling over fallen mankind ever since. And Adam and Eve had no access back to the Garden of Eden. They have no way to get back. But God's plan for the earth has not changed. He still intends for man and his bride to rule and reign on this planet. Christ came to die as the substitute for fallen mankind. When Christ died on the cross, all mankind died in him as far as the justice halls of heaven are concerned. That was the day when the punishment for all of the descendants of Adam was literally fulfilled. Thou shalt surely die. And in Christ, they all did. Since the entire species of Adam was now positionally dead, God was free to appoint a new Adam. And he chose Jesus to be the second man, the last Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he rose as the second man, the last Adam. His Eve consists of people who were dead in Adam, but now are raised from the dead by this quickening, life-giving spirit, who is Jesus. That's what the phrase born again actually means. You were first born into the earth as a child of Adam. But when you received Jesus into your heart, he, quote, raised you from the dead, and you were literally, quote, born again as a child of God. Everyone say, thank God for that. Jesus is our Adam. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. We are his Eve. Jesus, by the way, this is on that tape also, but y'all know that verse, it's puzzled me for years, it says, there is neither male nor female in Christ. Do y'all remember the Bible says that? In Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. That's what it's talking about. At my house, here, there is male, that's me, and female, that's Sue. But in Christ, there is neither male nor female. Why? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the bride. Again, I say it with gusto, Brandon. I am Eve. Well, then so are you, and so is Sean. Jesus is Adam. We, the whole church, is the bride. What do you call the bride of Adam? What was Adam's wife's name? Eve. So that's what it means that in Christ Jesus there is neither male nor female. Daryl, we're Eve. How about those bears, buddy? You know? Hallelujah, you know. Now at home there's a difference. Glory to God for the difference. Hallelujah. But in Christ Jesus we're all Eve. All right? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, we're about halfway through that one paragraph. Jesus is our Adam. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. We are his Eve. Now, Jesus, our Adam, has already passed beyond the veil and is now, quote, he's in the garden. Do y'all understand? Jesus is already glorified. He's already in the realm totally of the Spirit. He's already there. Okay? All right? We are still in the flesh. Have you noticed that? If you don't believe it, I'll come pinch you. You know, we're in the flesh, okay? And we have no way to physically get there where he is. But in the Spirit, we can. Now, for homework, you ought to read Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 35. And again, I teach that whole passage on that tape I was telling you about called The Grace of God in Worship. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave here without it tonight, okay? Hallelujah. I don't have time to lay that foundation tonight. Now, we're wanting to go where our... Where, you know, if y'all remember in John chapter 17, Jesus said, when he was praying to the Father, the high priestly prayer, one of the things he said, Father, I pray also that these may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. Do you think Jesus gets his prayers answered? Okay, through the Holy Spirit, we have a way of being where he is. All right, now watch this. We ask the Holy Spirit to take us into the presence of Jesus. If you can picture this in your mind, as we do, it's like we step through a door in the spirit realm and we find ourselves in the garden with our Adam, Jesus. He gives us the same instructions that the first Eve received. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. The fruit of these trees contain everything that you will ever need. There is salvation fruit, healing fruit, prosperity fruit, everything that you will ever need. Now that starts explaining Ephesians 1:3. Now the which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," everyone say hath, past tense. Say that too, past tense. Does hath mean past tense? This is something that's already happened? Amen. Okay, it's past tense. Notice, let's read it like this. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already," past tense, "blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now let's stop for a minute and look at me. The way religion teaches that verse, well, yes, you know, that's all spiritual, you know. I mean, you know, yes, you can have the new birth. And yes, you know, you can have peace on the inside, my brother. Not as the world gives, you know. And yes, you can love, you know. Everything's spiritual, see. But when it comes to, yeah, but will God help me with my car payment? Oh, no. Will God heal my body? Oh, no. See, no, this is spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. See, that's the way they teach that. And it's only in heavenly places anyhow. See, everyone, if you will, do like this. I mean, that's the biggest bunch of malarkey ever. No. This garden that we're going into, Angie, would you be... No, okay, you're already... I need my banana, Sue. Where'd the bananas go? I need one. Hallelujah. You want to be Eve?
Me?
Apparently not. Okay, somebody... Will you do it? All right. This always seems to help people. All right. Let's say you asked the Holy Spirit. Step right over here. Let's say you asked the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Take me into the presence of Jesus.
Take me into the presence of Jesus.
I want to be where He is.
I want to be where He is.
Okay, and you see a door open up. You go, should I go through there?
Should I go through there?
And the Holy Spirit says, well, yeah, that's where Jesus is. So take one step. Okay, now I'm going to be Jesus in this. And I say, well, hello, Eve.
Well,
I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you. Do you like this garden?
Yes.
You see all these big trees?
Yes.
Do you notice the fruit hanging off of those trees?
Yes.
Would you like to have some?
Sure.
Let's walk right over here and get some fruit. Okay, now here's a fruit hanging off a tree. Go ahead and take that. All right? Take a bite of that. I mean, you don't have to really.
Okay. Well, can I peel it first?
No. Does that taste good?
Yes.
Do you know what kind of fruit that is?
Yes.
You're supposed to say no.
No, you didn't tell me that.
Okay. See, that particular tree there, that fruit, that's healing fruit. These are all trees of grace. My Father provides them free. For example, He gives you healing fruit because of the stripes that I took on my back. And you can have all of that healing that you want. All you have to do is just freely eat it. You can eat freely of all these trees. The only stipulation is you're not allowed to work for it. You see, I did all the work.
Okay.
And you get it free.
Okay.
Would you know what, like to know what's on that tree over there?
Sure.
Well, let's walk right over there and see what it is. And there's some fruit hanging off of that tree. Would you like to have some fruit?
Sure.
Well, go ahead and take that. Does that fruit taste good?
Sure.
That's prosperity fruit. This is a money tree. Everyone say, glory to God. Oh, yeah. He said, you say money tree?
Yeah. Money tree?
Yeah. Actually, it's more than just a money tree. You see, my Father provides this tree for you free because I bore your poverty at the cross so that you could always have a full supply free from this tree to have every need met all the days of your life. Now, you can have all of it that you want. It's free. You can freely eat of every tree in this garden. There's only one stipulation. You're not allowed to work for any of it.
Okay.
You see, I did all the work so that my Father could give it to you free. Is that good or what? Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, I want to stay here.
Now, that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit wants you to stay there. Now, listen to me. Listen, what she said, that's the whole point. If we can get you live, how many would like to live there? Now, how do you do it? Don't leave early. We're going to get into the how do you do it. Because it is just that simple. That's really what this whole gospel is about in the pictorial form. God has restored us back to the garden in our spirits. And that's what that verse is talking about when he says, He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. It's in the spirit realm right now. Okay? And it's in heavenly places. It's in that spirit realm. But if you can learn how to go get it in your spirit, you can bring it into the natural. How do you think people get supernaturally healed of cancer? Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? By His stripes, I was healed. When I was seeing the vision of this and praying, I picked a piece of fruit off of there, you know, when the Lord was teaching me this. And then I was holding that fruit in my in this like spiritual vision, and it changed. It changed into Scripture. So suddenly I wasn't seeing a pear or an orange or a banana. I was seeing these verses. I was going, well, what is that exactly? I knew it was verses. No, it's by these exceeding great and precious promises that we become partakers of the divine nature. Everything that He has given us by these promises. If He was to literally walk through that garden, you would see prosperity scriptures hanging off of these trees. And you would find peace fruit on some of these trees. Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. When you learn how to do this, what I'm fixing to tell you, which we don't have much time, that's what Jesus meant when He says, My peace I give you, not as the world gives. When you learn how to do this, all hell can be breaking loose around your house. You remember the guy's house? The one guy in the storm was beating against it, but his house wouldn't fall? I know why. He wasn't even there. He was in the garden eating fruit off the trees while that storm was raging. And that storm couldn't tear down his house. You see what I'm saying? All right. Now, how do you literally do it? If I could show you how, would you do it? I want a commitment. If I could show you how, would you? Would you? All right. Now, I won't say that. I was fixing to say something mean. I won't do that. Hallelujah. Yeah, send in $100 and we'll mail you. we'll mail you a banana with scripture printed on it or something, you know? No thanks. Just a joke. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Daryl's over here.
That's how you prosper.
That's how you prosper. Well, sadly to say, that is exactly how a lot of them prosper.
Right.
Sad to say. And it's mean. I probably shouldn't have said it. But it's the truth anyhow. Forgive me, Lord. All right, let's look at Ephesians 1:3 on that same page. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, every blessing you need has already been provided for you, Tammy, Angie, Sean. Every blessing that you need has already been provided for you in the form of the promises of the Word of God. In the realm of the Spirit. That's what he means by heavenly places. The fruit of the tree represents those promises. And you may freely eat as many of them or as much of them as you want. You may freely eat as much as you want from them. Now, like natural fruit, the life in the fruit, the promises, the Word, becomes part of you until the Word literally becomes flesh. The Word becomes you. You become the Word. You get this. You are what you eat. Okay? Now, every answer to your problems begin in the realm of the Spirit. Go into the garden and eat. As you eat, the answers that begin in the Spirit realm will eventually show up in the realm of the flesh where you can see it and touch it. And when that happens, you will have your miracle. That's the way it works. But now we're still going to get down even more nuts and bolts. Next page. Now, I've got a banana here on purpose. Y'all see my banana? I'll be honest with you. I picked a banana other than a pear or other than an apple because with my false teeth, it's a lot easier to eat a banana. And I'm going to have to take some bites of this, okay? But any kind of fruit. Now, in the natural realm, let me ask you, is there any way to get a banana inside of me without eating it? Did y'all ever try and get a banana in you through your ear? How about intravenously here? You know, I mean, just start sticking it on your arm, you know? A lot of people like to listen. Maybe you want to listen to a banana. Maybe that would do it. That's what most people do with the Word of God, you know. They just listen to it, you know. How about reading the label on it? Turbana, you know. No, there isn't any way of getting a banana that's outside of here in my hand into me without eating it. Isn't that right? All right, now look. We get started here. What's the first thing I have to do? And it's okay if you read the next sentence. The first thing a person has to do in order to eat a banana. You know what everyone say together? You have to get it in your mouth. Is there any other way to eat a banana? Doesn't it have to get in your mouth? Okay, now watch. I wonder what that sounds like on tape. I didn't think about them sticking to my teeth. Anyway. Hallelujah. All right, now watch this. In the natural realm, there's no way to get a banana inside of you without eating it. There is no way of eating it without getting it into your mouth. There is no way to, and now get this, it's exactly the same with the Word of God. These promises, these fruit promises that are hanging on these trees, they're there. You can eat all of them that you want. But I'm telling you, there's no way to eat the fruit of the promises of the Word of God without getting them into your mouth. It's exactly the same. Now notice, this agrees exactly with the very first instructions that God gave Joshua in the Old Testament in order to possess the land. And as we've taught over and over again, that corresponds to our living the abundant life. How many want to live the abundant life? You want to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You want to reign in this life with Christ Jesus, right? All right? Look at the instruction. Here's what he told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Twice in the last week, I've had two different people ask me this. Well, why did God tell Joshua not to speak the word? Two different people have asked me that. And you get to, and be honest with you, I remembered. I'd forgotten it so many years ago. When I first read it, I thought that's what it meant. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Which to me sounded like don't say it. But now listen. Watch this. The only time that words are in your mouth is when you are speaking them. At all other times, the words are only in your mind. Now for example, Daryl, don't say anything but think. How now, brown cow? Are you thinking that? I'm asking you guys, are there any words in his mouth? He's thinking them. Where are they? In his mind? Now say, how now, brown cow? How now, brown cow. Louder than that.
How now, brown cow?
Now they're in his mouth. Now they're in his mouth, right? Now the only time the Word of God is in your mouth is when you're saying them. Can you see that? So what God was telling Joshua is, keep my word in your mouth all the time. Don't ever speak opposite to what I have spoken. Say my word. Notice that God instructed Joshua to speak the word. But now notice this. This is what we don't like. This is the part we don't like. Our flesh doesn't like this. Flesh likes to tell it like it is. But I want you to notice God told Joshua to start speaking the word before they ever even crossed the Jordan. They had not possessed one square inch of the promised land. You might be here tonight. Like Norval says, a lot of people come, yeah, but you know, I'm broke and I'm sick and my head's sore. You know, or something. And Norval always says, well, you're a mess. You're a mess then. You need to start doing what the Word says. And step number one is going to be the same instruction that God gave Joshua. Get the fruit in your mouth. How in the world do you expect to eat off of those grace trees if you don't eat the fruit? You can go to Pastor Dave's and listen as he tells you about the fruit. You can come here and listen as I tell you about the fruit. Some of you are probably living off the fruit of somebody else right now, prosperity wise, or somebody else is always having to keep you motivated, keep you up, whatever, you know. So a lot of people are like that. You need to start eating fruit for yourself. It's all free, and you can eat as much of it as you want. But I'm telling you again, if you're not ever going to start getting the word in your mouth, it's never going to become part of you. Now, here's another part. Do y'all know that in all fruit, like this banana, there's potassium in there, and there's all kinds of good minerals in there that my body needs? Do you know if you quit putting food in your body long enough, you will die? You do understand that? There's stuff in there you need, right? Okay? Now, Norval Hayes' daughter one time was on some kind of weird diet, and her body got so low on potassium that she fainted, and they got her to the hospital, and they started running these tests. They didn't know what it was. They discovered that doctors are going, you shouldn't be alive. You have almost no potassium in your body whatsoever. You should be dead. So they put her in the hospital and started feeding her, you know, intravenously, putting potassium in her. And I remember the instructions even after she got out was be sure and eat a lot of bananas because they're high in potassium. All right, now let's say I had been on a potassium starvation diet for a long time. All right, and I'm real low on potassium, and I know it. So I say, okay, I need potassium, so I'm going to come to my banana, and I'm going to now watch now. Watch how I'm doing this. I'm taking a little tiny bite. Oh, I'm glad that's over with. Now I have potassium in my body. What do y'all think? Am I deceiving myself? Am I going to have to eat a little more potassium, a little more banana than that? That's the way most of you are doing with your confessions right now. Michael Kelly preached one of the best messages I ever heard one night at the church. He said, one of the biggest deceptions in the church is that most people are walking in barely 30-fold and they think they're walking in 100-fold. Most people are making their little 5-minute confessions in the morning. Like me taking a little nip off of that banana. Well, thank God that's over with. What did God tell Joshua? Don't ever let it depart out of your mouth. Don't be saying anything else. You speak my word or in line with my word all the time. Don't ever agree with the devil at all. Don't ever be saying stuff like, I don't know how we're going to make it. That we're just not going to be able to pay the bills. Does that agree with the Word of God? What does the Word of God say? My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We could go on and on and on, right? You with me? Now, it's got to get to the point, though, just like that banana has got to get on the inside of me. See, that banana, the reason we eat food is not just because it tastes good. That banana ultimately becomes marrow in my body. It becomes cells. It becomes my blood. It becomes me. That saying, you are what you eat, is true. Isn't that right? Boy, it's quiet in here. Isn't that right? I mean, the idea is for the banana to become Brandon. It's bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, blood of your blood, cell of your cell, right? God intends the same thing with this. You're supposed to, the Word of God, you're supposed to eat it by saying it, and eat it by saying it, and eat it by saying it, until it becomes you. You become it. Do y'all remember what the Bible says? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Do you know Jesus, is the Holy Ghost still works that same way? You start eating that Word and eating that Word and eating that Word. It's just like eating that banana. Do you all know there's life in the Word? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Just like there's life in that banana that my body needs. And if it doesn't have it, it'll be sick and it'll die. There's life in this Word that your spirit man needs. All right? And if it doesn't get enough of it, it's going to get sick. It could die. But if you eat the fruit, it starts becoming part of you. Then it's no longer mental knowledge. Now it is heart faith. It's part of you. They can't get it out of you with rifle butts. You know what you know. Well, how did you know? Because I know. Well, how do you know that you know? Because I know what I know. I just know that I know. You see what I'm saying? And the devil shouts, you're going bankrupt. God's not coming through for you. And you hardly even hear that stuff anymore. What is that? My God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you're not making mental confessions anymore like you was in the beginning. It's bone of your bone. It's flesh of your flesh. It's you. You don't even think any other way. My God wouldn't supply my need. What kind of a crazy thought is that? I might go under. I can't conceive of such a thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking mainly in the finance. It could be the same thing with healing, your marriage, anything. Every area of life, it's the same way. Y'all like the banana? That worked pretty good. You got the picture? All right, now watch. Hallelujah. Back to the sheet of paper again. See, the section we're in tonight is our bread. Everyone, how many of y'all want bread from God? It's all free, you know. God has lots of blessings. You can have all of them you want. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Jesus sure paid the price for you to be able to. But hardly anybody pays the price to eat it, which is schedule some time, and I mean time in your day, to start eating this fruit. A little nip off the banana is not going to get it done for you. Again, I will tell you my case. Don't imitate me. I'm just telling you what God told me in my case. I had such a poverty doctrine in me that God, and we need to start handing these out, God told me to walk the floor and confess the prosperity scriptures 4 hours a day. Start handing those around, please. And I know I've given this to you before, but I know a lot of them are lost, wrinkled, mangled, have coffee spilt on them. What I'm passing around to you is fruit from the garden. And if you still got one, that's fine. You just pass it on or take an extra or whatever. These are scriptures for financial increase. Let me put it to you like this. I had time today, and I know you guys had to work, but I'm a preacher, see? So I went into the garden for you ahead of time. And I went around to the prosperity tree, and I picked you off a bunch of fruit. Because I know you didn't have time. Now, I can give you the fruit like I'm doing tonight, but I cannot eat it for you. I can eat it. How do y'all think Sue and I have been living for 1 year and 7 months? I can eat it, and Sue and I can enjoy the benefits of the fruit. But one thing I can't do, I can't eat it for you. I can't make it become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Only you can do that as you eat it. You understand what I'm saying? Got it? I can't do that part for you. Jesus can't do that part for you. All right? Here's the next one. Y'all already have had this one too. But I wanted you to have fresh ones for your... This is a prosperity confession, primarily. It covers a lot of areas of life. Thank you. For benefit of the tape, the title of it is called Just Daily Confession. Best thing you can do is make a habit right now, schedule a time every day to say those words. I'm telling you right now, reading will not activate the anointing. Just hearing it will not activate the anointing. It will never become part of you until you get it in your mouth. You got to get it in your mouth. You understand what, Brandon, do you understand it? You got to get it in your mouth. Say it, son. Say it. Do you understand I mean say it? Okay. Hallelujah. They're new. They're intimidated. Hallelujah. And they're just nice. Hallelujah. Got that? Okay. They're still going around the room. Okay, we got that part. Do you understand what? Okay, that verse, Joshua 1:8, the only time that words are in your mouth is when you are speaking them. At other times, the words are only in your mind. Okay? God was telling Joshua, keep my word in your mouth all of the time. Don't ever speak opposite to what I've spoken. Say my word. And notice that God instructed Joshua to speak the word before they had ever possessed one square inch of the promised land. That's hard. Now, I underlined, I bolded these next two statements. I put exclamation points. I centered them on the page. These two sentences will change your life if you'll believe them. Everyone say, I want my life changed. I intend to believe these next two lines. Now say them with me. Confession always comes before possession. The second line, you will never rise above your confession. Boy, I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank. This is the way it works. God works in the earth one way, not two. He works with His Word. And if you don't start speaking His Word, like I said, get to enjoying the way your life is. Because it is not going to change. In fact, it'll get worse because Satan comes immediately to steal even the Word you're hearing tonight. And make it look like it's not working. Hallelujah! Remember, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. The fruit of the trees are the promises in the Word of God. They're all yours. They're all free. All you have to do is begin to eat them. And you do that by saying them. Now, should be this is the reason that God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, which means, I am the father of many nations. When Abraham did not have a single child of his own, so I put it again. Why did God do that? Every time Abram introduced himself to anybody, you know, in Hebrew, names mean stuff. So he'd come up to Brandon and say, glad to meet you, Brandon. And Brandon would say, well, what's your name? And I'd say, I am Abraham. And to you, being a Hebrew, that means, I just said, well, I'm the father of many nations. Okay? And let's say you've heard about me, this wild, crazy old man lives out in the desert. This guy goes around saying he is the father of many nations, and he's about 100 years old, and he doesn't even have one kid. And his wife is past menopause, and even when she was before that, she was barren. But yet this old man, he keeps walking around. I started to say that. This old man, he keeps walking around going, I am the father of many nations. How many kids do you have, Abraham? I am the father of many nations. We don't see any children following you. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. Quit saying that, Abraham. You don't have any kids. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. That promise literally brought life to his body and his wife's body. She was past menopause, doctor. And she started ovulating again. I could prove this from Scripture if we had time, but I'm telling you, Abraham was so old, he was now impotent. But the life, I can prove that from Scripture. Sarah said, well, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? him being now of great age. What does that sound like to you guys? Okay? All right? But the life in the promise, the life in the Word, Abraham kept eating it. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. The life in that promise was enough to make his body functional again. How's that? And his wife, who was past menopause, began ovulating again. How's that for the Spirit Word becoming flesh? You understand that? But where did the promise come from? God, from the spirit realm. But what did it eventually affect? Their flesh. It literally became them. And the baby was born. Hallelujah. You see the principle? Now watch. We're almost done. Gerald says, right. Okay. The principle, okay, where it says confession comes before possession. This principle in the Word of God is called calling those things which be not as though they were. God operates this way, and Abraham learned to imitate God. Now here's these verses, Romans 4, 16 and 17. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. Now get this, I had to underline this. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Do y'all know Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ's? No, how's it go? If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many of you are Christ's? Let me see your hands. You born again or not? You born again, you're Christ's. You are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Look at it again. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Okay? Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now watch this. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Did Abraham learn that? I am the father of many nations. Oh, you old crazy galoot. Quit saying that. We know you haven't got any kids. What are you, a religious fanatic? I am the father of many nations. We're going to have you institutionalized. You are going crazy. You old 99-year-old man walking around in the desert. You took your head off too long. Sun's been on your brain. I am the father of many nations. What's the equivalent of that? When the bills are stacking up and you don't know what to do, and the devil screaming in your ear, where is your God now? You're going to go bankrupt. You can't meet your payments. What is your job? What are you supposed to be saying? My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but as long as I seek the Lord, God makes me to prosper. I will remember the Lord my God, for it is He that teaches me how to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. Is that enough for you? You got the message? And the devil says, no, yeah, well, you may prosper, but now you're sick. No, by His stripes, I was healed. The doctor says, no, you got arthritis. A good friend of mine, y'all would know him if I said his name, was diagnosed recently. The doctor said he had the worst case of spinal arthritis they had ever seen. From the top of his spine down to the bottom of it. The worst case of arthritis they'd ever seen. Gave the man some very bad prognosis. He was going to have to, according to them, change his occupation. Do something else. Perhaps retire. Perhaps go on some kind of Social Security, disability or something. Only one trouble. This man knows his God. He began walking the floor and speaking to arthritis. Everyone say, Jesus said,
Jesus said,
speak to the mountain.
Speak to the mountain.
In this case,
arthritis was the mountain.
He'd walk the floor, he'd talk to it. Arthritis, you get out of my body. Jesus already bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. You have no right to put arthritis on me again. I will not bear what He has already borne for me. Arthritis, I command you in Jesus' name. Get out of my body. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. My body is free from arthritis. I'll never have arthritis the longest day I live. And I want you to understand all the time he's doing that, it hurts. Every time he sits, every time he bends, every time he gets up, it hurts like heck. It's painful. And what does he say? You know, people go, "You religious fanatic, don't you know what the doctor said?" And he would turn to them and say, "Do you know what my God said? Do you know what my God said? By His stripes I was healed." No, you've got arthritis. "By His stripes I was healed." "Jesus, You are my healer. I worship You, Lord. You are healing me now. Holy Spirit, I know You perform what You hear. I am eating from the fruit of the tree and I am speaking that, Jesus, You are my healer. Arthritis, You get out of my body." Oh, I thank You, Lord. I walk free from arthritis. My body is perfect and whole because Jesus bore all my sicknesses and carried my pains. Oh, I thank You, Lord. So forth and so on. How long, Gary, did he do that? 6 months. 6 months. Do you think during a 6 month span of that kind of pain, he had any opportunity for the devil to say, "It isn't working"?
Yeah, several times.
"Where's your God now? Who taught you this confession stuff anyway?" You think he had any opportunity for that? Now that's the difference between someone who has mental knowledge of what the Word says and who knows their God from the heart. When you know your God, circumstances don't mean anything because you already know He cannot lie. And when He says, "By His stripes you were healed," you were, and you are. When He says, "I'll supply all of your needs," when He says, "Seek first," don't be worried about your rent. Don't be worried about where you live. Don't be worried about your clothes. If you'll just seek first my kingdom, put my things first, I'll add everything you need to you. When you know your God, when you know your God, that's all you're ever going to say, because you know your God can't lie. Glory to God, Sean. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. About to have one of them running fits myself. Yes.
Going to tell them about the doctor's report on that man that confessed for 6 months.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't tell you what happened, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. After 6 months, went in for another report. I mean, he already knew. He'd known the whole 6 months in his heart. Okay? But his back was telling him a whole different report. Went in after 6 months for his a normal physical checkup. The doctor's report now, absolutely arthritis free. The doctors are saying things like, "We must have this, we must have misdiagnosed this." You know, even though they've got the x-rays and everything right there. You know, I mean, what?
Is it possible? I mean, in a natural... Is it possible to have arthritis and then like that and just not have it?
We've got a doctor here.
It's not like ankylosing spondylitis, and no.
No.
Because that actually, it's called bamboo spine, and that's what it looks like. If there's no spaces, it actually solidifies.
It solidifies the spine. That's
so
what they
have. You'd have melt bone.
Did you hear that tape? The doctor says you would have to melt bone for that to happen. Well, if God melted bone, He did it pain-free because this guy didn't know it. Hallelujah. But he's completely free of arthritis today. Now, see, I appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for Benny Hinn. I thank God there are ministries where the gifts flow like that. And boy, if I had something terminal, I'd be in every meeting they had. Don't you misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Word of God works 100% of the time, every time, for anybody who will pay the price to do it. The gifts are wonderful. What if you can't find one? You know? What if you need a miracle and there's no, you know, there's no anointings like that around for you to go to? It's good if you can. I'm all for it. I wish they'd flow more here. You know? But what the Lord is trying to do is get you walking on the Word, because this works for everybody 100% of the time. All you got to do is eat it, though. You got to eat it, though. It has to become you. And it only starts by, the starting process is the same. Now, next week or next time we come around, we're going to talk about the digestive process.
Yeah. When you get healed by a gift,
yes,
Satan always comes to test your ground, whether it's in healing, mm-hmm. whether it's in prosperity, whether it's salvation or anything. He always comes back at some time or other to see if he can put the same thing on you again that he was able to before. And if you received your healing by a gift of the working of miracles or a gift of healing, a lot of times you don't know how you got it. You know, you may have been able to receive it at that time. But if you'll do it standing on the Word of God till it comes to pass, you'll know how to every time, and it works every time.
For everybody.
For everybody.
The Lord is no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for the other. He has to be that way. It's His Word, and God can't lie. Anyone that will cling to the Word and not give up on it, God has to come through. I always say, now, you can't put God in a box. You know what I mean by that? This is one way you pretty near can. Because God can't lie. If you will hold to His Word, and hold to His Word, and not depart from His Word, and say His Word, and say, this is mine, I got it. This is mine, by His stripes I was healed, I got it. Or if it was prosperity, as long as I seek You, Lord, You make me to prosper. Here it is, look, Your Word, Lord. Now, it's His Word, isn't it? If I give Gerald my Word, it's up to me to make my Word good. If God gives you His Word, isn't it up to Him to make His Word good? But in His kingdom, it works like this. You have to believe it. And if you are holding on to it and won't quit, don't let the devil, don't let him make you quit. You've in a way put God in a box. He has to come through. It's His Word. I heard Jesse Duplantis one night, he was standing on a deal where he was having to raise his mother from the dead. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Y'all know who Jesse Duplantis is? And he was saying, God, you either have to raise my mother from the dead or you have to quit being God. I've got a covenant, God. You swore a covenant with me in the blood of Jesus. You come through with Your Word or you have to quit being God. God likes that kind of talk. That's not very churchy, is it? All religious people will never talk that way. And they'll persecute you for talking that way. That's what a blood covenant is. Even in the natural, in Africa, if one of the parties to a blood covenant violated that blood covenant, did not come through on their part, then it was perfectly legal for the other man and his descendants to track that man down and kill him, and there would be no reprisals. See? Even in humans make a covenant like that in certain parts of the world. Well, God swore by Himself because there was no higher. This covenant has been sworn in the blood of His Son. In a way, you can put Him in a box with this. What I mean by that is He has to come through for you. He has to. Either that or He's a liar, and He's not a liar. Did I finish the whole page? I better. What story? Which one?
Again.
Which story now?
Jesse Duplantis.
Oh, Jesse Duplantis? You have to hear that whole thing. God raised her up. And God, but He also told her, also told Jesse, now, you're not going to like it when she gets raised up because she don't want to come back. You know? She woke up. She said, Jesse! Yes, ma'am? Yes, mother? Leave me alone. Went something like that. Leave me alone. I don't want to come back. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Jesus. Take her. And she went on. But He had witnesses in the room that saw her raised up from the dead. And the Lord already warned him. Okay, you demanded it. You ain't going to like it. And his own mother chewed him out. Jesse, leave me alone. I want to stay there. I mean, she's like 80 something. She was up there. It was time to go. Okay. Doing the Word. We're down to it. I only got a few minutes. Now, step one. Now, I went on ahead tonight. Those other handouts I gave you on the scriptures, I handed you some fruit. I've done part of this for you. I've done part of this for you, okay? Find scriptures, fruit, promises that cover your case. Now, if you're in here tonight and you're right on the verge of bankruptcy, I wouldn't go through hunting up a bunch of healing scriptures tonight. You know, if you're in here tonight, though, and you know the doctor said yesterday you got cancer, I wouldn't be running through here on all these prosperity verses. In other words, find the verses that cover your case. If you've got kids out in the world, I don't have any of those right tonight, but with just a little bit of time, we could find some. For example, Isaiah chapter 49, somewhere in there, I'd have to find it exactly for you, but it says, God says, "Even the captives of the mighty shall be set free, and I, the Lord, will save your children." Glory to God. How about that one? The captives of the mighty. I don't care how big that devil is that's got your kid. God says, even the captives of the mighty shall be set free. And I'll save your children. Man, I'd be saying that to God if my kid was in, you know, really out in the world about 100 times a day. I mean, you know. And if anybody asked me, how's your kid doing? Even the captives of the mighty shall be set free. God's going to save my kid. Do you understand me? My kid's saved as far as I'm concerned. There ain't no devil big enough to keep God from saving my kid. I got a covenant. He has to save my kid or quit being God. Hallelujah. God likes that kind of stuff. I'll find it for you exactly. Okay, let me find it because people on the tape might need this. It's Isaiah chapter 49. Let me get there. I hope. 45 or 49. Hang on here. Yes, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 25. And actually, verse 24 is good. You know how I always have to back up. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 and 25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? In other words, maybe your kid really messed up, and as far as the devil's concerned, this is a lawful capture. All right, but watch. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God! Is that a good scripture or not? How many times a day? Isaiah 49:25. Isaiah 49:25. And there's others in there. Any one of you can get a Strong's Concordance. Do y'all know what that is? It's kind of like a dictionary where you look up Bible words and it'll, like you could look up children. And it'll tell you every verse in the Bible that's got the word children in it. Real easy to use. If you don't have one, come over here. We'll help you research it. I'll go with you through the garden. We'll pick some fruit off the trees, okay? So you can start eating it. But ain't no point in your kids going to hell when you've got a promise like that in the Bible. There's no point in you being broke, sick, and your head sore. You know, when you've got promises that cover your case, and I better finish. We're about to run out of tape. I know. First thing, you got to find scriptures that cover your case. Two, make them into a confession form as if they were already true in your natural life. Three, begin eating them by saying them. Gorge yourself with the fruit of the garden. Don't come in and take little nips off the banana. Eat 12 bananas. Eat a stalk of bananas. You're low on potassium. Some of you, you know, in the natural, you could be low on potassium minerals. There's people in here that's low on prosperity minerals. There's people in here that's low on health minerals. There's people in here that's low on peace minerals. You know what I'm saying? You need a big dose. Eat a bunch of bananas every day. Get it into you in abundance, for it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. A nip a day will not keep the doctor away. Okay. Okay. And verse 4, this is the hard part, everyone say. This is the hard part. Uh-oh. For item 4. No matter what the circumstances look like in your life, underlined, do not let the word depart out of your mouth. Keep saying the word. Remember the guy with the arthritis in his back? It didn't go away the first day. It hurt. Probably hurt worse if I know the devil. You know, probably hurt worse. Do you quit? Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Keep saying it. I used to say at the old Bible study, how long, Brother Gary? And I always said, 10,000 years. Because if you'll set yourself to that degree, It won't be very long till you see it. 6 months out of your life is not long when the alternative was to be a cripple the rest of your life without fighting it. Think about it that way. Okay. Item 5. Be like Abraham. Keep saying it even when all natural hope is gone. 6. Now, don't try to make the word come to pass in your life. That's God's job. What I mean by that, don't try and figure out how He's going to do it. You're messing around with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when you do that. All you're supposed to do is hang on to the word. Hang on to the word. Hang on to the word. Hang on to the fruit. That's your job. Hang on to, eat the fruit. Eat the fruit. Eat the fruit. That's your job. Jesus is the way. I told you that before. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is the way. But the Holy Spirit is the how. We're going to talk later about the Holy Spirit's role in all of this. If you'll hang on to the Word, that sets your course. You're headed, you're prosperity bound. You start saying these out of your mouth. The how? Oh, that's the Holy Ghost. You back that up then with some praying in other tongues. Spend some time with the Holy Ghost. And His job is to take all of the circumstances of your present life and start working them around to make those promises come to pass in your life. He's the one, He's the how. He's the one that does all that. Okay? And verse 7. Item 7. Be like Abraham. And I quoted this verse, Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here it is. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You don't have to make it come true. He's able to perform it. He'll do it. You don't have to figure that part out. Your part is simple. Eat the fruit. Keep it in your mouth. Say the word. Worship him. No matter what the circumstances look like, keep it in your mouth. Keep saying it. Back it up with some praying in tongues. We'll talk about that again another night. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Oh, I thank you that you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory. Then while you're doing that, the Holy Spirit, He's doing the how. Okay, now here's what needs to happen. This job needs to change. I heard somebody give this example the other day, and I love it. You say, well, how does it really work? Oh, 1,000 ways. Here's one example. Maybe you're believing for prosperity, for a better job. Suddenly one morning after you've been doing this a while, you wake up and you got this uncontrollable urge for waffles. Waffles? Oh yeah, you wake up and you just got to have a waffle. It seems to you like you're going to die if you don't have a waffle. You get in your car, you drive down to the Waffle Hut. Well, Waffle House, isn't it? Waffle House. Waffle House. And you get there and every seat is full. You know, but you've been praying, you've been confessing, you've been holding fast to the Word, you know. Every seat's taken in there, you know, every booth. And you look and there's this one booth where there's a man. He's seated by himself. And he notices you standing there and he says, if you don't mind, you could share my booth with me. You can sit on the other side here, you know. Okay, so you sit down, you order your waffles. And you and this guy get to talking. And he asks you, well, what do you do? Well, actually, I'm kind of unemployed right now. I've got this job, but it's not even really paying the bills. He says, well, do you have any, what kind of skills do you have? Oh, I'm a graphic design artist is what I do. Is that right? He says, I happen to run Coca-Cola Company. I happen to own Coca-Cola. And we're in desperate need of a graphic artist